Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast. 10 minutes every day with live for Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for July 22nd, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 35. But someone will object. How can it be that the dead are raised? With what kind of body are they going to come? You are being foolish. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that will be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body of the kind he wanted it to have, and to each of the seeds he gives its own body. Flesh is not all the same kind. Instead, people have one kind of flesh, animals have another kind, birds another, and fish yet another. There are also celestial bodies and bodies on earth, but the glory of the celestial bodies differs from that of the bodies on earth. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, and another of the stars. In fact, one star differs from another in glory. That is the way the resurrection of the dead will be. What is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body. It is raised as a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first Adam became, the first man Adam became a living natural being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, that which is spiritual is not first. Rather, first comes the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man made of dust, so are the people who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so the heavenly people will be. And just as we have borne the image of the man made of dust, let us also bear the image of the heavenly man. This is the word of our God. Maybe we'll begin with that last part first, where Paul makes the comparison between Adam and Jesus. And he has the same comparison in, I think, Romans chapter 5. And the point in Romans chapter 5 is that Adam died, Adam sinned, and that Adam brought death on all people. And then all the people who are children of Adam and Eve, the descendants of Adam, the natural man made of dust, all those people are the ones who are subject to death. But Jesus, the second Adam, the second man, did not sin, and so he brings life. And so those who are believers are children of the second man, this Jesus Christ. And that's the same point that he makes here, that Jesus brings life, that because Jesus is not subject to death in the same way. But the point here is kind of the end result of that discussion from Romans chapter 5, that this Jesus brings life, and that the life that Jesus brings is of a totally different sort. That it's not just this natural earthly life that is subject to pain and sin and death, but it's also this powerful spiritual life in the life that Jesus has when he has been raised from the dead. He has already been through the death part. And he has this spiritual life that is in his glorified state, in his exaltation. Because the comparison we have between the natural and the spiritual, or the physical and the spiritual, or the natural and the heavenly, is the other comparison that kind of comes into play. And that's the exact comparison that we have a couple of other times when we're talking about the difference between Jesus and his life leading up to and before his crucifixion and death, and his life now after his resurrection. And the comparison that we really have and that we're really dealing with is the comparison between his humiliation and his exaltation. His humiliation is that period of time from conception up until his death, where he did not make free and frequent use, full and frequent use of his divine power, glory, and honor. So he basically hides the fact that he is God. He doesn't use his own, divine authority and power for his own benefit, but he keeps it hidden. He allows himself to be arrested. He allows himself to be crucified. He allows himself to go hungry and be needing of sleep and food and all the things that that mark our weakness as humans. After his resurrection, during his period of exaltation, which began with the moment he came alive and continues through the end of, for all eternity, through the end of eternity, through all eternity, this period of exaltation is the period of time when he again makes full and frequent use of his divine power, glory, and honor, where he does these things fully and frequently, where he basically brags about the fact that he is God, where he is not bound to needing food on a regular basis, although he is able to still eat, as we see with the upper room appearance in John chapter 20. And so the point that we see here that we have to be straight on first is the fact that Jesus, after his resurrection, during his state of exaltation, he still has his physical body. He hasn't become just some spirit. He still has his physical body. It's not purely spiritual, but that's the point that Paul is making here, that at the resurrection of the dead, when you are raised, you will have this sort of glorified body that doesn't have the same physical limitations and weaknesses that your physical body does have now, but you will still have your body. That's the point that he's making. You'll still have your body. You don't do away with your body. Rather, that body will be glorified in a way where it's not hampered by sin anymore. And that kind of brings us back to the opening part of this section. Back to, what is it, about verse 35 or so is where we began today. Because Paul says you're going to still have your body, and it's going to be a glorified body. And basically the point in this section is that it's not for us to determine or decide or try to parse out what exactly that glorified body is going to look like. Paul says it's going to be glorified, and that's all you have to worry about. Because he's dealing with the objection, well, okay, how can it be? You know, tell me some details. Give me some logistics. Humor me with some details with what kind of body are they going to come? The objections of those who want to play God, and really the objections of those who reject the idea of the resurrection entirely. Well, how does this happen? The answer, of course, is the power of God. And in what way is it going to look? What's it going to look like when you have been raised from the dead? The answer, of course, is God will determine, because God's in charge, not you or me. And God will do his best work at the best time and in the best way. And Paul goes on to kind of humor us and give us a little bit of detail by analogy, of course. The first picture, the planting of a seed that then grows into a crop. You plant a corn seed and it grows into a corn stalk. And there's definitely some resemblance and some commonality there. But the corn stalk is much more glorious than that simple little seed you placed in the ground. You plant, just last night I read with the boys a book about planting pumpkin seeds. And you plant a pumpkin seed, and the fruit of that you see at the end, the vine and the pumpkin and everything, you could see that it's related to that pumpkin seed because there are seeds inside that pumpkin, but it's, even though it's the same plant, it's a somewhat different sort. That's kind of his first point, that it's kind of foolish to try and, for us to try and say, this is what it's going to look like, when all we know right now is the packet of seeds. We don't even have a picture on the front. Your body and mine, when we're planted in the ground, is the picture. Whether, cremated and then placed in a mausoleum or buried or whatever it happens to be, or whether we're just embalmed and then buried, the image is of a seed being planted in a ground. And the fact is that you'll be raised up, that you will sprout forth in the resurrection of all flesh at the end of time. And as a Christian, you will receive this glorified body that is the same body, but we can't imagine all of the details of what that body will look like, because all we know right now is this basically packet of seeds without a picture on the front. And then he kind of goes from another analogy verse 39 and following, that kind of paragraph there, where he talks about different types of flesh and different types of glory. Well, you know, chicken isn't the same as beef, isn't the same as pork, isn't the same as fish. And he says that all the heavenly bodies, the planets and the stars and the comets and the sun and the moon, they're all glorious. And one can't make an argument to say, well, the sun is more glorious than Jupiter, or our moon is less glorious than Halley's Comet, or whatever it is, because that argument doesn't hold weight. They are different, but each one of them is glorious in its own way. And that, Paul says, is the point that he's making, that at the resurrection of the dead, the perishable will be raised imperishable in an exalted state, similar to Jesus's exalted state. It is sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, state of humiliation. It is raised a spiritual body, where we won't have and be subject to the weaknesses of the human flesh that we have today. And the body that you will have at the resurrection will be your very own body, the exact same body, but glorified. You can find us Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.